broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia. From Boots to Biz Radio, sharing helpful information and practical insight about the franchise industry for the military veteran entrepreneur. Now, here's your host, Bill Williams.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to From Boots to Biz Radio. We are dedicated to promoting business ownership among military veterans, military spouses, and first responders. And over here to my right is Kevin Finn, producer, co-host.
So, hey, Bill. How you doing?
All right, Kevin. How are you?
I'm doing good.
It's still cold out there.
I know. I keep trying to go out without my jacket on, hoping it's going to be sunny. It looks sunny. It looks hot, warm, but it's not.
It's not. Nope. Nope. But I'm banking on it because I just signed up for my first round of golf of the year in 2 weeks.
So. All right. Where are you going to go play?
Bears Best up in a couple of friends of mine are going to go up to somewhere up in Sewanee.
So. It's probably a nice course then.
Yeah. It should be. It should be.
All right.
Well, our guest today is Joe Rangich, and we're talking about military veterans' career transition with a focus on women and women veterans' needs and specific needs. Joe is a career Army officer. He served a total of 26 years, graduated from the United States Military Academy at West Point after first serving 4 years in the enlisted ranks. So I know it made you a better officer.
I would think so.
Yep, absolutely. I can endorse that. You know, and you're with the 82nd Airborne and enlisted, right?
Yes, I was. Yep.
Okay. And well, welcome. You know, and we're glad to have you here. So you know, tell us a little bit more about what transpired in those 26 years. That covers a lot of time.
Oh yes, it does. Well, when I was with the 82nd, of course, you mean I was infantry and worked my way up from being a private nothing to. Actually made what they used to call AJ and was in charge of a squad of guys. I wouldn't say deployed, but we took part in what used to be Reforger back in the 70s and 80s a couple times. Mm-hmm. And that was a cold experience, especially since they fly you out, you jump, and you have to walk all the way back.
So yeah.
That was that was okay.
But and jumped out of perfectly good airplanes, right?
For $50 a month.
Yeah, there you go.
But then, anyways, after that, I was urged to actually by my company commander was urged to apply to West Point and never heard of it before. Being from New York,
upstate New York, yeah.
Right? I'd never heard of West Point or anything like that. But back then, they didn't have internet. They didn't have all the communications that we have now.
Sure.
And so anyways, he persuaded me just to put in an application to West Point, ended up going to the prep school, then from there on to the academy, graduated there in 83, and decided I got tired of walking everywhere. So I got into Armored Cavalry.
Okay. Fort Knox.
Fort Knox at the time. I guess now all that's
now Benning. Yeah.
Benning, yep.
Yeah.
So anyways, while I was there for... went through the training and everything there. Ended up with the first off, did a stint in a training brigade, training other like tank drivers and gunners and things of that nature with the first training brigade that used to be there at Knox.
Mm-hmm.
Was with the 194th, which was a separate armor brigade at the time. I think they've been deactivated since then. Spent some time down in Texas at Fort Bliss, and then out in California at the NTC. Mm-hmm. And then basically, when things got pretty rough for the military in the late 80s, just before all the wars started,
yeah.
It was the big rift just before they brought everybody back. So I got out and did the rest of my time in the reserves.
Okay.
Found a place here in the Atlanta area, and I was able to finish off my time there. And I was lucky there. I mean, that seems to be the mantra of my life is that I kind of slide into things or fall into things, and I just make the best of it.
Very good. Very good. All right. Well, that's a great story, you know. So, to go from, you know, a private E1, right? There's still E1s and E2s.
Oh, yes. Yep.
Up to graduate of the academy is well done. So, congratulations. Well, let's talk a little bit about... Yeah, because I know you've had a very successful civilian career, and let's talk about how we can help veterans out there understand to map their skills and their acronyms over from the military to a civilian career.
Right, a lot of it has to do with language, believe it or not, because a lot of the skills that that vets have, both women vets as well as guy vets, mm-hmm. the ability to work with people, to work with teams. I mean, of course, I mean, military is all about teamwork.
Mm-hmm.
And to take that vernacular or those skills and translate them to something that a civilian person can understand, that's really the crux of being able to make a good transition. You know, the fact that you were an armorer and you cleaned M16s and tore them apart and, you know, put them back together, that's not so much interesting to the civilian employer as the fact that you worked with a team, you led somebody, you motivated somebody, you had the wherewithal to figure out how to get something, an issue fixed, and that you were able to work with people and be able to communicate up, sideways, and down. And yep. Those are the skills and those are the words that you need to learn as you're transitioning from an MOS type of thinking
right.
to a job description type thinking.
MOS, Kevin, is military occupation specialty. So,
thank you for this layman over here. You guys with all your buzzwords.
That's okay.
Yeah,
that's an example. Yeah.
Well, so. the military is just like any other company. What I have found is that as in the military, I mean, you can carry on a very intellectual conversation and never use an English word.
Yep.
You can do the same thing. I'm in IT.
Yeah.
And I can do the same thing now with IT folks. I mean, we can carry on a very serious conversation and never use an English word.
Those are the terms that I know, the IT terms.
Yeah, Kevin's the IT guy over here. So, yeah, absolutely. So, well, I mean, I think that's a great example of just even an armor. I mean, because you've got a complex piece of equipment or a complex set of equipment, and keeping it working and operational, and keeping your team in the same mindset and meeting deadlines and that all carries over. So
oh, absolutely, and also the another thing that I found that was interesting. Now I know I'm not sure exactly what the target audience or who will be listening to this,
sure.
but for those who are contemplating a transition,
mm-hmm.
I would urge that you get some education underneath your belt. Even if it's just an associate's degree or something, it shows that you're willing to learn, that you can learn, and that you have some, I hate to say it, but you have to have a piece of paper to get yourself in the door these days.
Yep.
That's just the competitive nature of the civilian world these days, is that you need those little tools or those things that will get your foot in the door. Then you can show what you're really made of.
Yep.
And part of getting yourself in the door, unfortunately nowadays, is a degree of some sort.
Yep. So an associate's, even though right now we're the, sequester word is running around, educational assistance has been curtailed or limited. That'll probably come back pretty quickly because I think it's getting a lot of attention. So I don't think if it's suspended right now, I don't look for it to be that way for long. So.
I don't either because I mean that's just such a key part or a key component of getting a successful transition from the military into
right.
the civilian. And even for those who have been out a little while.
Yeah, they have mm-hmm. education program, right? Talk about that.
Oh, they're well, yes. I know of two, at least, here in the Atlanta area. Georgia Perimeter College,
yep.
as well as Kennesaw State, both of which have veterans assistance teams. I mean, they've actually ponied up and have full-time administration staff that work with veterans specifically
mm-hmm.
and work with the teachers and the professors to understand, okay, this vet who just came out of the military from either combat or a combat type of arrangement or mm-hmm. maybe not, that they think differently because they've been at it for so
Their
many
years. Their experience is a lot different.
Yes. But they're no less intelligent, no less intellectual than anybody else. They just come at it differently.
Mm-hmm.
But you need to understand how they come at it, how they are going to be coming to the classroom from what perspective. And they're actually giving training to the professors, the instructors, and they've put resources into it, which I think is really great.
Yeah, we've had Mark Eister,
okay.
On the program. So I'm going to make a note to go get the Kennesaw guys too. So,
yep.
That's a great little place where people can go, veterans can go, GPC, and find. Friends and find a place to study quietly and be among people with a similar history. So
exactly.
It's good. But there's also some pretty good benefits after you get out from for education, aside from the, you know, what we just talked about with the education assistance?
Well, of course, there's education assistance, of course. Mm-hmm. And also, I mean, there are programs out there that do cater to vets. I think some of them are state-funded. A lot of, depending upon which, what company somebody may be at, there are also tuition assistance programs that come through companies. A lot of them do cater or up the ante, so to speak, for vets as part in order so that so they can show that they're vet friendly.
Yes,
that
yes,
they'll yeah. that they'll you know, whereas a normal person, you know, it's like somebody right out of high school or a normal hire, they would get X number of dollars. If you're a vet and come to them, they'll give you X plus. Now I don't know who does that, but I've heard of those programs out there.
Yep, and a little bit of Google research.
Google for sure. Yes, that is
and,
always
and the you know the I mean, talk to the VA because there's thinking those there's experts there that can guide you. I'm sure.
So. Exactly. Yes.
So good. Well, we've talked about education. How about somebody who's coming out? You know, in the next 6 months. You know. What are they, you know, I mean, they see, you know, unemployment rates and, you know, what kind of expectations should those folks be thinking about?
Well, what they ought to expect, it's not going to be easy. I mean, you're not just going to be able to say, hey, I just spent 6 years in the military. You ought to hire me just because of that. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to prove to people who may have no military experience that you can do what they're expecting, which kind of goes back also to the translations of the skills that you have in the leadership, motivation, discipline, you know, problem fixing, troubleshooting, things of that nature, to be able to translate that into terms that they understand. And that you are willing to work as a team, because unfortunately one of the perceptions of people who have not been in the military is that you're going to come in and you're going to pull rank. You're going to do something. You're going to act like the sergeant major. You're going to act like the staff sergeant, the drill sergeant, and that doesn't go over well in the civilian world.
Yep.
So you need to be able to convince somebody that that's not me. That's not my personality. Here's an example of what I did. So you have to pull examples from your military experience and translate it into something that the civilian people understand.
Yep.
Now, if you're really lucky, you'll be talking to a vet as a hiring manager, because we've been at this a while, and there are more and more vet managers and directors and executives out there than there have been in the past.
I heard somebody describe the veteran community as the largest fraternity, you know, not excluding women, but the largest fraternity in the country.
I would agree, because, I mean, we all have that common experience, and that gives you a link automatically. You just look at somebody in the eye, and he says, oh, you were in Bagram, or you were in FOB Shank, or you were in, you know, in the big sandbox.
Yep.
And you just know automatically that you have a shared experience there.
Absolutely, absolutely. One of the things I think we want to make sure, you know, as part of this particular point is people want to, you know, go into a company, they want to find out ahead of time what that company needs and, you know, what are they looking for in candidates. And so do a little homework and then be able to craft your interview skills around telling them how you're going to help them, you know, solve their problems.
Exactly. And also there's also the hidden market that I found in my experience from an IT perspective. Mm-hmm. And this can be segued into other industries. If they're asking for developers, that means that there must be a need for development, which means that there's probably a hidden manager position out there also. Mm-hmm. Because it's not only what they put on paper, but is what they're thinking about doing. And so if they're willing to if they're willing to publicize X number of jobs, in their minds, there's probably a couple more out there in the cloud around those positions that they just haven't advertised yet, but they're out there. And if you can think about it and sell yourself into that cloud, you can get one of those unknown positions.
Yep. Well, and you know, just to be able to walk in and say, well, you know, I understand you've got project XYZ. Here's how I think you can help you. I can do this on X, I can do this on Y, and I can do this on Z. You know, what do you think? You know, can we continue this conversation?
Exactly.
So you want to come in, you know, a little bit aggressive, but not like the Hollywood sergeant that you
yes,
talked about.
Exactly. And also, don't be afraid to ask questions. I know that's, you know, I didn't mean to, for this to be like an interview
that's okay.
promo or anything.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if you get yourself in the door, don't be afraid to ask questions. Because what I have found, what worked for me personally, is that when I get into a company, it's just as much about me interviewing the company as it is the company interviewing me. Because you want to have a good fit. I mean, yes, you know, you can, you know, you want to get a job. You need, you know, you may be a little bit desperate. You know, it may have been a little bit of time that you've been out.
Nervous, and
you know, savings are getting short, and my gosh, I got to get something, I'll say whatever they want for me to work. and then 3 months later, you're saying, this is not
Same
for
thing.
Me. You're miserable, and either you're walking or you're being asked to pursue other opportunities.
Yeah, there you go.
So.
<Nicely said.
laughs> So you want to have a good fit. So when I go into an opportunity, it's always, you know, me looking at them as much as they're looking at me. And I think that's a good balance and a good way to go after it.
No, that's a very good point that, you know, ask those questions. And go in ahead of time with some questions prepared. You know,
mm-hmm.
There's nothing wrong with taking in a pad of paper and referring to it,
And in all honesty, I mean, I've been through quite a few interviews, and the fact that I asked questions of the company, that caught them by surprise a lot, because most people don't do that. They assume it's a one-way street, and I'm the target, and that's it.
Yep.
When you make it a two-way street, that surprises them a lot and ups your value in their their eyes.
Absolutely, because you're mm-hmm. you know, providing more information than they're prepared to take. So. Good. Well, all right. We all these comments can be directed at women vets, as well. So we're talking, you know, to men and women coming out or mm-hmm. thinking about coming out. We're talking mm-hmm. about military spouses that, you know, maybe want to go out there and get a job before their spouse ends their commitment or meets the mm-hmm. end of their commitment or retires. So. All these things are good.
Yes, they are, and the spouses are a huge factor in supporting the exiting vet. Whether it's a female spouse supporting a male vet or a male spouse supporting a female vet, it goes both ways. And the spousal support is huge. That I mean, mm-hmm. you know, maybe you have to make one last move. Maybe you have to, take a pay cut of some sort to get your foot in the door and then rework everything.
Yep.
Somebody may have to stay with the kids if kids are involved. And then, of course, you have all of the child care and, you know, everything that goes along with that. And plus, there's I don't think it's as bad now because when I was back in the day.
Yeah, I mean, all that time ago. Yeah, okay.
Yes, I mean, there were things that were... just simply available to families, which now they have to pay for things like health care and whatnot. So the transition from TRICARE to regular health care is not that big as it was when I got out.
Okay,
because I was used to just walking into the Army hospital and being taken care of, and that was the end of it.
Yep.
Now I mean, even now, well, I've got a son in right now, and
That's
he's
right.
and he's has educated me on the TRICARE system, and it's hell, that's just a lot like what we have to do here. So,
so it continues to change and evolve, right?
Yes, it does. But still, I mean, those are the things that you have to think about. Going there.
Because healthcare is expensive, and coming out of it, you may not realize that. Well, let's talk about newly discharged veterans. How they're coming out. And all of a sudden, I'm alone. Where do I go? How do I find people to talk to? How do I find, folks like me?
Well, what I have found is that there are a lot of vet helping organizations out there. And there are a lot out there, but there's really no single clearinghouse. You can't go to, helpavet.org and find all of the groups that are out there. So a lot of it has to do with networking. And that's something that I feel that most military folk are not good at. They're not good at looking out and talking to people to give you a referral back and, mm-hmm. and all that mm-hmm. because they're used to the chain of command. It's like I go up, it comes down. Maybe I go sideways a little bit.
That's a good point.
And I work with people, but I'm not used to just going out and meeting somebody. yep. or talking to them and saying, hey, can you, you know, well, who do you know? What yeah. do you know?
This
what
is
groups
what,
do you know?
This is what I'm looking for, you know.
Yeah. yeah. And so that is a skill that that needs to be quickly learned by recently discharged vets. Don't be afraid to talk to people. Again, I hate to say use Google, but go out there and look for, you know, veterans groups yep. and find some small groups that are out there. Talk to them, and then they know people who know people who know people. Build your network, yep. and just by talking with people, you'll bump into something fairly soon, actually, because there are a lot of groups out there, different names. You know, you can probably just do a, you know, here in Atlanta, I haven't done it myself, but I'm sure if I just do a, you know, vet group Google, I mean, there's a bunch out there.
I've been here 25 years. I've never done that. That's I'll have to think about that. But yeah, I mean, the first thing that come to mind, you know, the VFW and the American Legion, things mm-hmm. like that. But there's also groups, or you know, and if you can't find one, you can start one. You know,
exactly.
I know some guys that did that. So.
Yeah, I mean, I know of three organizations that did that.
Yep.
I guess I'll go ahead and pop them out here. But yeah, Bridging the Gap is out there.
Okay.
They help vets in emergency situations. You got the Vet Buds.
Yep.
Vet Buds. There's actually two groups that I know of. One in Johns Creek, Norcross area.
Yep.
And one in West Cobb. They meet regularly, and they're here to help vets.
Yep.
They have met other folks. I can't remember their names, but those people know other groups, and those groups are looking to help people.
Well, and there's here in the Atlanta area, the Vet Buds, by the way, there's a website, so that's, you know, that can be anywhere.
And they're on LinkedIn. So.
In LinkedIn, yeah. Yep. Vet Buds group on LinkedIn. But there's a group here in Atlanta just getting started. It's based on, I'm a member of the Atlanta Vietnam Veterans Business Association, and there's now a group getting started called the Iraq Afghanistan Veterans Business Association. The website isn't up yet, but those are kinds of things that anybody can do in a, you know, mm-hmm. doesn't have to be Atlanta. It can be Chattanooga. It can be Chicago. It can be anywhere.
Anywhere, you know? Exactly.
When you go to a city that is nearby a military installation like Colorado Springs or Denver, you know, or, San Antonio. I mean,
yeah, yep.
Just kick around, and I'm sure you'll find a bunch of folks, business oriented. So very good, very good. So all right, so here we are. I'm, mm-hmm. you know, I'm an old over the hill guy, you know,
and I'm not too far behind you.
But you know, we can say maybe we're established veterans out there. So what can other, you know, established, quote unquote, veterans do to help folks coming out, young people coming out of the military today?
Well, first off, they can. I mean, it's not like you're going to discover a single vet out there, but I would suggest that the established vets that they get involved with these different groups that are out there. Get involved, you know, probably already with the American Legion, VFW. But in my perception, they're more social
yep.
Groups.
Yep.
But you might meet somebody there, and then find somebody who's trying to help vets. Maybe reach out to the schools or even the Department of Labor usually have a veterans person who's dedicated
yes.
to helping veterans.
Right.
I know Gwinnett County has one. I know Cobb County has one.
Yep.
I can't foresee that the other counties don't.
Well, in other states. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, other state organizations around the country are going to have similar type specialist. So
right, and for the established vets, I mean, get involved with these organizations that are out there. You know, the equivalent of a Vet Buds or a
yep.
Vet Jobs. You know, yep. and network with them. Just talk with them. See who else is trying to do this, and hook up with them. Make them part of your network, and then just get involved. And then through that, you'll inevitably run into the newly discharged and give them a hand.
Yep.
Give them the advice and say, okay, yeah, this is where you need to go. And in this particular area, whether it's like Arizona or Colorado or Wyoming or wherever, that here's who you need to go see. Here's a business card of a guy I know, or here's his contact information. Give him a call. Go talk to him.
Yep. Well, and there's another thing. You mentioned LinkedIn a moment ago. I mean, you know, if you're deployed right now, you know, in Europe or in Southwest Asia, or if you're on a naval ship somewhere, you know, around the world, you probably got internet access, right? Mm-hmm. And go on LinkedIn And there's a number, I mean, there's all kinds of military groups out there on LinkedIn. There's transition assistance groups and things like that. So just put a note out there for people, you know, say, hey, I'll be transitioning out in June of 2013, and I want to live in Corpus Christi. Who's in Corpus Christi that might want to get together and help me network? You know,
exactly. Yep, and you are exactly correct. I mean, most even are in the war zones. I mean, they have internet access. I mean, it's
not like the old crank the field phones that I had today.
Line to line. Oh, wait a minute, it broke somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, private. Joe, check that line.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I'm not leaving the bunker, but yeah. I'm sorry, that took us off there. But yeah, they could access a lot of things and get prepared. Networking is an art. You know?
It is an acquired skill.
Yep.
And it's, I mean, personally, I would just say jump in. Don't, like, you know, I shouldn't say sink or swim, but you know, you just have to come in. Don't be timid. Don't be afraid to reach out there, because I know it's a different skill for most military folk coming out.
Well, it's different. It's, you know, it's an acquired skill for folks, you know, who've been in a corporate career and have to do it for the first time as well.
Oh, yes.
You know, so.
Oh yeah. Well, plus also, I mean, corporate, they almost force you to network because here. I mean, most life cycles or lifetimes for. At least in my world, in the IT world, 5 years is a long time to be in a particular position. And especially for like military folk coming out, you know, 10, 12, maybe six or whatever years.
26 years, yeah.
Yeah. That, you know, then all of a sudden your horizons shrink and you just have to be nimble, and you've got to keep those networks alive.
Well, I think that's another for folks coming into, you know, out of the military into the civilian world. The average employment tenure in the United States is 2.8 years. And it's getting shorter. So don't come out and expect to, you know, work for, you know,
anybody for 20 years.
Yeah, 10 or 15 years. Yeah, because it ain't going to happen. So, networking is, some of us talk about it, joke about it. It's not drive-by networking. I mean, you want to say, hi, I'm Joe. Hi, I'm Bill. I'm in a transition, or this is my situation. I just came out of the military. And just looking to meet people. You don't want to say, you know, who do you know, who's hiring, things like that. You want to say, you know, I'm just looking to make contacts and develop a business network here. You know, and people will help you if you do it that way. But if you come at them and say, all right, Kevin, who do you know? You know, who's hiring out there? Probably not going to get you, right?
Not at all.
Yeah. So, but I know you're involved in some specific projects to help. Women and PTSD. You want to talk about that a little bit?
Sure. I'd like to. I'd love to, actually.
Yeah.
As we all know, everybody, a lot of vets coming out of the Afghanistan and Iraq wars, even earlier, that there's a heightened awareness about PTSD.
Mm-hmm.
And there's not a lot of facilities or support in order to get those injured vets back well. Unfortunately, our VA system is kind of like, okay, if you're not bleeding, you're not hurt.
Yeah.
And okay, you know, just okay, we'll fix you up, we'll put you out on the street, and a lot of the injuries are invisible.
Yep.
Could be concussive stuff with all the IEDs and everything that, okay, there's no visible injury. But you have concussive injuries to the brains. You have stress-related stuff, PTSD, and whatnot. And I mean, we've all read and heard about the stories. You know, some good, some tragic.
Yes.
And so it is going to be a long-term issue. And unfortunately, once somebody comes out of the VA system, they're on their own. But there are programs out there that are starting to help those guys and girls that are ladies that are out there who are suffering from PTSD silently and individually, because a lot of them are very proud and they don't want to go get help.
Sure.
They're not going to go to the social worker. They're not going to go and get, quote, mental help because that shows that they're, quote, weak or somehow less than honorable or something like that.
Yep.
But there are programs out there, things like Bridging the Gap and other types of programs. And there's one in particular that I'm involved with. It's not doesn't have full traction yet, mm-hmm. but it is in the works, and it's basically a female vet centric place in South Atlanta. I won't say the place just yet because it's still
sure. yep.
it's still in a transitional mode. But basically, what it would do is that it would focus on female vets with PTSD and give them a transitional place to get their feet underneath them, learn some skills, and transition into the civilian world on their own terms as needed.
Good.
Wonderful. And it would not be, it's not like a hospital. It's not a anything like that. It's a social environment. It'd be the community would be flowing through it. Help would be flowing through it, and so it's going to be more like a community center than a hospital or anything like that.
Okay, all right.
But hopefully more to follow on that.
Yeah.
Later.
Well, yeah. We will have you back. To talk about that. And yep. you said there's programs like this around the country, right?
Yes. This particular program is actually modeled after a couple like it up in the Northeast that have been very successful.
Good.
And so the CEO and CFO have actually talked with those folks and are taking that model and they're implementing it here in the Atlanta area. But it's something that can be translated or moved or created just about anywhere.
You can kind of copy it and
exactly.
copy and paste.
Exactly,
you
know. Yep. Okay. Into wherever there's a need. And the need is out there. It's just it's just totally so invisible. Yeah. And, I mean, what kind of, motivated me to get involved with the female vet issue was that, we all see the male vets out there.
Yep.
Then they've got, the amputees or the PTSD or the concussive injuries, but you see very little media coverage of the female
vets.
Women
veterans, yeah.
And they've got it as bad
or a lot
of times worse than the male vets do.
Because they don't get the recognition.
Exactly, because, they're in the line of fire just as much as the males are these days.
Yeah.
And the traditional thinking is, you got the infantry male
Yep.
companies and the females are John in
Wayne.
The rear.
Yeah.
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 And that's not the case anymore.
Yeah.
And so the females are as much risk as the guys are, and they're getting hurt just as bad.
Yeah. Yeah. When I IED goes off, it doesn't care.
It doesn't care who you are.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's just out there to get you. So, well, we definitely want to have you back, in a couple of months when that program has a few more legs on it and is ready
absolutely.
To talk about.
Yes.
Bring Dr. Barbara Bailey back with you.
That absolutely.
Time. That'd be great. Do we know the names of those groups up in the Northeast by any chance that we can put the word out to?
I do not, but I can.
Okay.
When we come back, we'll bring them with us.
Okay, good. Yeah. And maybe I might be able to put it out on their Business Radio X website too. So.
Okay.
Definitely.
Yes, I can do that.
We can do that, right?
Oh,
so,
definitely.
Good. Well, thank you again, Joe. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you. Likewise.
Yeah. And we do want to have you back.
Okay. Oh, definitely. I just
don't know how many times I get to talk about this and just just have an audience.
A forum. Well, yeah. Hey.
Yeah.
Well, we're going.
Exactly. It was a great show. You guys talked about some really good stuff. I think you guys really brought light to the fact that we need to find a way to have veterans that come out to be able to translate in their words the skills that they learn, because they're under fire in combat. And then they go to a job interview and like, can you handle pressure? And they don't know how to answer that question.
Do you say, heck yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, a delivery's late? That's pressure? How do I handle that situation?
Yeah.
But we really need to work on helping them translate that and getting there.
No, good point. Excellent. Yeah, you're right. No, that's been very good points. Thank you. Thank you very much, Joe. So can people reach to you if they want to contact you directly?
Absolutely. Yes.
Want to give your email address?
Sure. Feel free to contact me. My email is jrankich, and I'll spell that because it looks terribly, it's scary when you see it. it's jrangitsch @gmail.com.
Okay, that's very good. And I'll make sure that's on the summary of the show on the
Fantastic, yes. And do feel free to, feel free to contact me. And, I get tons of mail, a lot of recruiter mail, actually, because, just as a segue, I was to show how networking works to kind of segue.
Yeah, great. Yeah, talk about that. Mm-hmm.
I guess now 3 weeks ago, I was caught up in a layoff, a corporate layoff, or what they call a restructuring.
Yes.
A lot of jobs were lost. A lot of people were let go. And in the course of 2 weeks, I went from being kicked in the groin to picking myself off the ground, looking, deciding, okay, I'm going to show this corporation what I'm made of.
Yep.
Made it a goal of mine to be back at work before I got my severance check, and it happened. And so inside of a week, I had three interviews, two face-to-face interviews, and an offer within 2 weeks of the time I was let go.
Outstanding.
And
work.
I attribute it purely to networking.
Yep. And I would guess that some of those jobs are fall into that hidden category, too.
Yes.
That they're not out there, on Monster or anything else. So make, you know, let people know, you know, where you're at and what you need, and, you know, work your network.
Definitely.
You never know, you know, who you're going to. Well, very good. Very good. Thank you again. We'll do our little closing here, you know, where we talk about the International Franchise Association describes a
franchipreneur. I got your back.
You got my back. I can't get that word out. As one possessing the desire to become a business owner without reinventing the wheel. And the National Veteran-Owned Business Association, NAVOBA, defines a veterpreneur as a military veteran who organizes and manages a business. Our mission here at From Boots to Biz Radio is to help create more veteran entrepreneurs by providing information and education about the many choices in franchising. We want to help start more small businesses and create more employment opportunities for veterans all around. So please check the From Boots to Biz Radio homepage on the Business Radio X website. We'll have a webinar schedule there. We've got webinars coming up on March 26th and again on April 9th called Franchising Equals Entrepreneurship for the Military Mind, and where you'll get a lot of questions answered and learn a lot. So I'm Bill Williams. I'm your host of From Boots to Biz Radio. If you have any questions, feel free to contact me as well. You can directly at bwilliams@4axiom.com. That's bwilliams@4alphaxrayxrayiom.com. So until next week, carry on.